Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Thank you so much. Please be seated. You've heard me tell the story many, many times about how when I was a boy, my mother used to get Taylor's Bible Storybook. And after my father died, one of the things that my mother just did for her two boys was to sit next to each, to sit us right next to her. And she would hold Taylor's Bible Storybook in her lap where we could look at the pictures, and she would read the Bible stories to us. And I have vivid memories of that from my childhood. It's the best thing my mother ever did for me. The best. One of the stories, though, was a story that disturbed me somewhat, and that actually has disturbed a bunch of people. In fact, it's one of the most famous stories from the Old Testament. It's the story of Abraham offering Isaac. How many of you remember the story? Raise your hands. The story of Abraham offering Isaac. Okay, that's most of us, but for those who don't know the story yet, Abraham is the man that God has chosen to be the center of his plan to bring salvation to the world. He's planning to bring from Abraham's actual body, from his family, he's planning to bring all of his blessing into the world through this man's children and grandchildren and the nations that are going to come out of him. However, he has lived his entire life for almost 100 years, and he and his wife have never had a child. Until God does a miracle, and Sarah, Abraham's wife, has a baby boy, a boy named Isaac. Isaac grows up to become a young teenager, and God gives Abraham a commandment, a startling commandment, a mind-blowing commandment. He says, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, bring him to the land of Moriah, to a mountain that I will show you, and there on the mountain I want you to offer him as a burnt offering to me. You don't know what that means. In the ancient world, and many places in the world even today, people worship their gods by taking an animal, killing the animal, and cutting the animal in pieces, and burning either part or all of the animal up on the altar as a sacrifice to God. And yet the commandment that God gave to Abraham was, take your son, your handsome, strapping, young, teenage boy son, and put him on the altar and kill him and burn it up. There are a lot of people in the world who, when they see that story, they simply go, what kind of God would give such a command to somebody to tell a father to kill his own son, to offer his own son as a sacrifice? Well, here's an answer. My answer. The sovereign God, who has the right to demand of us anything he wants to demand of us, that we have the obligation to obey. I'm not saying I would or I could, I'm just saying that he has the right to ask anything he wants to from me, doesn't he? Everything I have, everything I am, is from him. There's nothing in my life that I don't owe back to him. So he could demand anything of me. He'd be perfectly within his rights to do it. I'm just so tired of people saying, I could never serve a God who would order someone to do such a thing that could demand so much. Stop it. I could never serve a God who would not have that kind of authority.
Why would you waste your time trying to worship a God who's half in charge, or three quarters in charge, or 99% in charge? No, I want a God who's 100% sovereign over everything all the time. Otherwise, why waste your time? And yet, that sovereign God sometimes asks people to do some astonishing things. And there's nothing that he ever asked anyone to do. Any mere human, anyway. As astonishing as this. And most of you know the story. At the last possible minute, when the knife is raised, he's about to plunge the knife in. He's got the fire built and burning. He's got his son on the altar, about to kill and throw him to the fire. He's got the knife raised. He's going to kill his son because God said to. Tears streaming down his face, more than likely, wondering how can I be doing what I'm getting ready to do, but God told me to do it. And God says, no, don't do that. I've got a different plan. I just want you to see whether you really would. Look over here. See over there? There's a little ram caught by his horns in a thicket of bushes. You go take him and you offer him as a sacrifice. So that's what Abraham did. An amazing story. An unforgettable story. It's one of the most famous stories in the Bible. When I was a kid, that story used to bug me. As you can well imagine, most kids would be bugged by it. You know? In fact, most adults are bothered by it. Yeah, I get it. Think about that story. Okay? And then think about the title of this sermon. Take Isaac off the altar.
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I left the word out. What was the word I left out? Living. Living. God never intended for Abraham to actually kill his son. He said very clearly it was a test. God never was for human sacrifice. In fact, he directly commanded his people not to engage in that. He said human sacrifice is what you see all the pagans around you doing. They give their kids to the world. They sacrifice their children to their own convenience. Oh, wait, that wasn't ancient Israel. That's modern America. I'm sorry. I got confused for a second there. Okay. But that's true. God says it's the pagans who sacrifice their children to their gods. The one true God doesn't do such things. He doesn't play like that. But what does he want? He wants you and me, just like he wanted all of these Christians in Rome so long ago, he wants us to offer our own bodies, our own selves, to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Remember, this is right at the turning point in the book of Romans. This is the place where we use that word imperative again this morning, except I've used the word indicative and opposed it to imperative. What Ryan did this morning in Sunday school is he used the word descriptive instead of indicative, but then he used the word imperative. Imperative is command. Indicative is something that indicates something. Or descriptive is something that describes something. In other words,
The indicative mood or the descriptive mood is the way you normally talk all the time, which is telling facts. But a command, an imperative, is a command. When someone has the authority to tell you to do something, tells you to do it. And so at this point in the book of Romans, Paul is doing the same thing that he was doing at the point in Ephesians that Brian was talking about this morning. He's turning a corner from the indicative or descriptive to the imperative. He's telling them what to do. He's telling us what to do. And the first thing he says to do is sacrifice your body. Take Isaac off the altar. And although I don't want you to necessarily literally get on an altar, I do want you to surrender your entire self to me. Not to Chris, but to him, Christ. This is his plea in Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's got two sides of it, two elements to the plea. One is to surrender your body for God's use. That's what we're talking about right now today. Next Sunday, when we talk about the second half of it, that's in verse 2. Let's surrender your mind for God's use. So let's just talk about this for just a moment. Five descriptions that I think we're going to find in here of the sacrifice that God is commanding you and me to make today and every day of our lives until Jesus comes to get us. Five descriptions of the sacrifice that God is calling us to make today and every day of our lives until Jesus comes to get us. First of all, first description. Give yourself as a surrendered sacrifice. A surrendered sacrifice. He says, I appeal to you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. If you were to listen to that word present, it means something like stand next to. So you could say, I'm like presenting this pulpit because I'm standing next to it. But in the Old Testament, when you presented a sacrifice to the Lord at the tabernacle or at the temple, at the altar, what you would do is you would take the animal that you were presenting, say you brought a bull to present. Okay, you're going to sacrifice a bull to the Lord. That's a serious gift, isn't it? I can't imagine they were cheap then. They're not cheap now. You know, but say you spend a lot of money because you want to show God how much you love him, you're going to sacrifice a bull. What do you do with the bull? You stand next to the bull and you put your hands on the head of the bull and symbolically you transfer your sin and your guilt to the bull, and now the bull is going to die as your substitute. That was the Old Testament ritual that they did long before the time of Christ. Okay? And yet it's against that backdrop that Paul says, present or stand next to your body. You ever hear someone being beside himself? He literally says, stand beside yourself and lay your hands on your own head, as it were, and offer yourself as a sacrifice to God. That's exactly what he says. Present your body, a living sacrifice. Let me give you a couple of examples of how this is used. In the book of Romans, again, in chapter 6, there are several verses that are very close to each other where he says the same thing again. Verse 13 in chapter 6, he says, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God. He uses the same word that means to stand next to and
prepare to give it as a sacrifice, as an altar, or as an offering on the altar. Okay. But present yourselves to God. Don't as if he's saying, do not surrender yourself to the devil or to sin, but rather surrender yourself to God. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but rather present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. I love this because it's almost exactly parallel to what he's saying. He's saying, do you see what he's saying? Your members, the members, the parts of your body, don't give them your body for sin, but rather give it to God. And you see, if you listen to it again, these are directly parallel. The members of my body, giving them not to sin, but to God, is directly the same thing as presenting myself to God. So listen to it again. This is Romans 6:13. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God. Do you get that? Yourselves to God, your members to God. Your members is your body. So that when he says, surrender your body, present your body, offer your body to God as a sacrifice, he's saying, offer yourself to God. He goes on and uses the same word in verse 16 in Romans 6, presenting yourselves. Verse 19, just as once you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification.
In the Bible, you are your body, and your body is you. Your body is not simply the empty shell in which you live. That's not really a Christian concept at all, or a Hebrew concept. The idea that your body is an empty shell and you're just living in it, that's actually a Greek concept. No, your body is what God has given you. God has made you. Remember what he did? He took a lump of clay, molded it into a man, and breathed into it the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You are, I am, we are, an enfleshed soul.
We are our bodies. And so when he says, surrender your bodies, he's saying surrender not just all the parts of your body, but all of yourself. Surrender yourself to God as a sacrifice. This is a surrendered sacrifice. That's the first description. If you wonder what the word sacrifice in that first part of the verse means, it means exactly what it sounds like. It's used over 40 times in the New Testament to mean something that was an animal or maybe some wine or maybe some grain that was put on an altar and burned up to God. It was the word. You may rejoice over the fact, and you should rejoice over the fact, that we no longer sacrifice animals to God. And you should rejoice over the fact that Jesus Christ was the last bloody sacrifice. But if you're thinking to yourself, well, thank God that Jesus was the last sacrifice, now I don't have to sacrifice nothing. That's exactly the wrong thing to come to conclusion about. What Paul's saying here is surrender your bodies. Your bodies are a surrendered sacrifice. You are a surrendered sacrifice. That's the first description. Here's the second one. Give yourselves as a spiritual sacrifice. This is just for King Jimmy fans like me. I was raised on the King James Bible, and it's almost impossible for me to quote Romans 12:1-2 in any version of the Bible other than the King James. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your members a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Well, it says here spiritual sacrifice. I thought, is it reasonable service or is it spiritual sacrifice? What? Spiritual worship. Spiritual worship or reasonable service? Or sacrifice? What is it? Okay. Well, let's try and unpack that if we can. All right? Because if you don't have a history with the King James Bible, you can go to sleep for the next couple of minutes. It doesn't apply to you. But if you're like me and you've always got the voice of King Jimmy like in your head, then this will help. Okay? This will help. Because both the King James and the New King James put it as reasonable service. So let me ask you this question. In just a little while, there's going to be a big event happening in that big purple temple downtown. People will be worshiping the raven-headed god down there. What will they call that event? That event will be called a football game. Okay? Well, what do you call this event that you're part of right now? This is called a worship, what? Service. A worship service? Well, where did that come from? Why do we call this a worship service? Would it be shocking to you to find out that it has roots in the Old Testament? Everything has roots in the Old Testament. Oh, Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go that they may go 3 days journey into the wilderness to do what? Actually, if you look at the King James, to serve our God. Because to worship and to serve in the ancient Hebrew mind is the same thing. This is service. This is a worship service. You are serving God by worshiping Him today. That's the reason why it's called worship service, is because that's actually a very biblical and characteristically Old Testament way of thinking and talking. And like most things, we have no idea even where it came from or what it means. But we call it a worship service because we're thinking biblically. However, most people in modern America have no idea. In fact, probably a good number of you had no idea until I just told you. Why is this called a worship service? What is this? Well, that's why it's called a reasonable service. What's reasonable? Spiritual worship is how it reads in my English Standard Version translation of the Bible. Reasonable service is how it was in the New King James, in the King James. So worship is service. Okay, Pastor Chris just explained why worship and service are the same word. Well, what is it, reasonable or spiritual? Would you be real terribly shocked to find out that the Greek word behind it is the word logikos? L-O-G-I-K-O-S, or lambda, omicron, kappa, I can't do it in Greek. Okay. The same word that you would think of as logical, logikos, is related to the word logos, which means word, or reason, or rationality, or idea. What he's saying is, this is a sacrifice. It's a service of worship. It's a sacrifice that you are offering yourself to God, but it's not a physical one. It's a logikos one. And so you could say it's a figurative one,
Or you could say he's speaking spiritually here. Or you might say that he's using spiritualized language. People would say all those kinds of things, right? The translators of the English Standard Version, our translation, say spiritual is the way we're going to translate the word logikos. Okay. What it means is something like figurative, non-literal. It's spiritual. But what is it? It's a spiritual sacrifice. That's what it is. It's not a physical, literal sacrifice. It's a spiritual or figurative sacrifice. But let me ask you this. The sacrifice of God is from you and me in this verse, when he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Is that because it's just figurative, it's not really a total sacrifice, it's not really a meaningful sacrifice, or at least not demanding that sacrifice. But I mean, if I were to get up on the altar and burn myself up to God, that would be a total sacrifice. But thank God, it's not a literal physical sacrifice. It's just a logikos sacrifice. So, phew, I don't worry about it. It's only a partial, half-baked, inconsequential, nominal thing. Or is it? Is God still demanding a comprehensive, all-consuming, total sacrifice? When he says this is a spiritual sacrifice or a reasonable service, is he saying, I'll be satisfied with a partial sacrifice of yourself? Or does he want all of you? And every last bit of me? The first and greatest commandment is what? You shall love the Lord your God with most of yourself. Who is the Lord my God?
Yahweh, Jehovah God, the God of the Old Testament, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm just the loving Him with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my strength. How much of me does God want on the altar, spiritually speaking? So to say that this is a spiritual sacrifice is not at all the same thing as saying that it's a partial sacrifice. And if you were thinking that, then rethink. This is a spiritual sacrifice, but it is also a total sacrifice of all of yourself. That's the second description. It's a spiritual sacrifice. Here's the third description. Give yourself as a serious sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now look, I've already told you, I've given you specific reasons to see that I'm not making this up, but I showed you parallel uses of the word from just a couple chapters earlier in the book of Romans, that this is exactly what Paul has in mind when he says to give your bodies as a living sacrifice. Literally saying is give your whole self as a sacrifice. And now let's just be real clear here. Because we've said that this is all based on Old Testament. Okay? So when's the last time you went trotted through the first seven chapters of the book of Leviticus? Probably not recently. But those of you who have been going through the Old Testament with that, there are seven
sacrifices that are laid out there in the Leviticus. There are peace offerings, or also called fellowship offerings, that where you give, you take your animal, say it's a ram, and you take the best parts of the animal, which is some fat, some fatty portions. I know we don't think fat's the best, but they did. Okay, you take some fatty portions from different livers, you take one of the legs that's like a chosen leg, and you burn that up to the Lord. And then the rest of the meat of the animal, well, the rest of the junk of the animal you throw on the side. The rest of the meat, you turn it into a big old barbecue for yourself and your family. Remember how we did this? When we went through Leviticus together. Some of you are like, yeah, I remember that. Some of you are like, what? I wish I had done that. You should have. It would have been helpful. Especially if you get into Leviticus and you're going, there's so much blood in Leviticus. Okay. In fact, most kinds of animal sacrifices, sin offering, peace offering, you name it, involve getting the best parts of the animal and burning them up as a gift to God, and then taking the rest of the meat of the animal and sharing it with your family and your friends. And total strangers, you know, just share it. Have a big party. That's the way of God. Except there's one kind of sacrifice. King Jimmy called it the whole burnt offering. The way it was put in the Greek Old Testament was Holocaust. Did you know that? Our word Holocaust that we think of as being only about the horrific killing of millions of Jews by Hitler actually is an Old Testament word. Like so many things in our language that come from the Old Testament, we have no idea. But it's an Old Testament Greek word from the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament for a whole burnt offering. What's the whole point of a whole burnt offering? Well, you take your ram and basically, you take all of the meat and all the fat. Now, the skin, the bones, the guts, and the head, and the tail, and everything, you just throw that aside. That's junk. But all the meat and all the fat from the whole animal, everything that is worth anything in the animal, you cut it up into pieces and you put the whole thing on the altar and you burn it up. The whole burnt offering. And that's what Paul has in his mind as he's saying this. This is a serious matter. He means everything. He means all of you. He means there's nothing left that is not to be offered to God. How are you feeling right now? So I'll be honest with you about where I am, okay? Thousands of times in my life, I have come back to this spiritual altar, figurative altar. And figuratively or spiritually speaking, I have once again surrendered my whole self seriously to the Lord. But it just doesn't take me more than a few minutes before I'm sitting again. Does anyone out there have the same problem? When I'm giving myself to the Lord and telling him that he can have all of me, I mean it with my whole heart. I mean it. I'm not being a conscious, intentional liar. I'm not being a hypocrite, a fool. Because I'm not trying to be, but what I find is that sin's just in me. And no matter how totally I surrender myself to the Lord, daily. It's just a daily struggle. And I know that's how it is for you too. And Paul knew that's how it was for the Romans when he was writing to long ago. And he knew that that's how it would be for you and me. So his description is, this is a serious, comprehensive, total sacrifice. This is all of you.
Even if you find that you can't quite give all of yourself, when you thought you had given all of yourself, you find that you didn't. Okay, here's a fourth description here. Give yourself as a serving sacrifice. He says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That is, God does not simply want you and me to have powerful emotions of utter devotion to God in the privacy of our own homes.
He does want us to have that. Powerful emotions of devotion to God. But it doesn't just want to be in our own home, in our prayer closet, if we have such a place. He wants it to be actively lived out by specific deeds of service to God and to others, because I have surrendered myself entirely to God. This is a living sacrifice. This is an active sacrifice. This is a serving sacrifice. So that when you go into, say, the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13, Paul says the most amazing thing. He says that we should offer to God the sacrifice of praise. He calls it the fruit of the lips that love God. But then he says, but also sacrifice yourself with acts of service to others. It's a very next verse. Because with such sacrifice, God is pleased. So when you come here and you sing, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, you feel in your heart these powerful emotions of devotion to God and love for God, because how He has loved us. That's worship to Him. And the fruit of our lips goes up to God like smoke ascending from an altar. It's worship to God. But that's not enough. You gotta go out there and find someone that doesn't know God and may not even like you and serve that. Offer up to God. Sacrifice. It's a serving sacrifice. It's a serving sacrifice. Okay. This is the way the Lord describes this to us. This sacrifice that the Apostle Paul is telling us that we have to make. Take Isaac off the altar. Take yourself out of the pew. And serve. I've tried to rededicate myself to making more visits. What I find is that if I visit at night, then I can take either Ryan or Andy with me most of the time. But if I want to visit a woman, usually a woman doesn't want to, unless she just knows us, she doesn't want to see two strange men standing at her door saying, hey, let us come in and talk to you. They want to see that. I need two women or a woman and a man who can go with me to make some visits to help serve some folks. If you think you might be one of those people, let me know. Let me know. That may be some of the sacrifice that God wants from you. Now, I understand that many of us have daily sacrifices that we are making, service that we are making. Okay?
I'm looking at a couple back here where almost her entire life is taking care of this guy. Okay? And I'm looking at him, and his entire life is taking care of her the best he can. And then he does this amazing ministry with his telephone, and he's all the time talking to someone, thinking about things and doing things. Okay? Just busily, what is that? That's offering yourself as a living sacrifice, right? And sometimes that living sacrifice is something as simple as, my brother has moved into my house and I'm taking care of him almost 24/7. That's a living sacrifice, right? It's a serving sacrifice. And all of us have some of those things that happen to us. We have family members, we have friends that we take care of. And that's part of our service to the Lord, our worship to the Lord. But then many of us have other opportunities that we're not even aware of yet. And I'm just telling you that out of the 128 hours of every week, about a good solid 100 of them belong to Jesus. Am I telling you that? How many hours out of every week belong to Jesus? 128. If you're going to sleep, you're going to sleep so you can rest your body so you can get up tomorrow to serve Him again. Right? This is where you say amen. What I'm preaching is true. Every part of us belongs to the Lord. And I would just invite you, or trot out the imperative and command you in Jesus' name to identify what's happening in your life that is clearly a service to the Lord and His people. Clearly a sacrifice to the Lord. And how much of your life is really just spent doing kind of whatever. And I am well aware of the fact that I'm speaking to a number of people who are retired. And I'm well aware of the fact that you've been told in America that the whole point of everything is you sell your soul to the company store for 40 years, then you retire and you live for yourself. I understand that that's the narrative that we've heard over and over again in America. I'm just telling you that that's satanic. Can I say that? That's of the devil. If you spent 40 years or however long working your tail off for your company because that's what you're supposed to do, then that was a service to God, wasn't it? That was an offering to God. All those years behind that wheel, Andy? Sacrifice to God, right? And yet, every minute of your life now is to be a sacrifice to God, isn't it?
Wait a minute. I thought I was supposed to have a joy unspeakable and a full glory. I was supposed to have an abundant life. Isn't an abundant life like, you know, a three-car garage and, you know, a couple of beavers in that garage? Isn't that an abundant life, doing what I want? That's of the devil. I mean, that's an American dream, but it's of the devil. You guys know me. I'm going to go. I love my country. I love America. But I just have to be really honest. There's some things about this country that are really messed up. Really devilish. And one of them is this quote-unquote American dream of I'm going to get more stuff.
That's just not from the Lord at all. Jesus says the man rejoices that he has brought in more crops than he's ever had. I'm going to have to tear down my barns and build bigger ones to store all the stuff that I've got. And what did Jesus say? You fool. This very night, your soul will be required. Do not buy the lie that your life is all about getting stuff. It's just not it. So, instead, give yourself as a serving sacrifice. Find ways to give yourself to the Lord. And if you found yourself, look, the Lord did not call me here to lash you or to browbeat you. Okay? Sometimes what the Lord wants you to do is sit back with a bowl of popcorn and a Coca-Cola and watch the game and enjoy it. And do that with Jesus, okay? I'm not saying that there's no downtime in your life. Everything's got to be some sort of extreme act of devotion to God that anybody would look at and go, oh, that's religious, it must be devotion. No. There's lots of stuff in your life that the Lord wants to give you and God wants you to enjoy. But He never wants you to take anything as simply your time without Him. Ever. Ever. There's always a third person welcome in Monica's and my marriage bed. That's the Lord. Is that right? There's no part of my life that belongs entirely to me without God. I belong to God. Every part of my life belongs to God. Okay. Give yourself as a serving sacrifice. Here's a fifth description. Give yourself as a sanctified sacrifice. I just got to use this word. Because this should be holy and acceptable to God. Remember what God said that He really hated about some of the people of Israel? I told you to bring me here the best of your flock, and you brought me blind and lame and mangy animals, and you sacrifice them on my altar, and you take your best animals to the market to sell them to get the best price for them. I said, no. You bring me a spotless lamb. Right? And when the Apostle Paul is saying to us, offer ourselves, our bodies, our everything to the Lord, he's saying, when we offer ourselves to the Lord, then we are offering ourselves to the Lord as a sanctified, holy, spotless, blameless sacrifice. Our sacrifice to the Lord. I'm not saying that if you've been living in sin, you shouldn't come back to the Lord and offer yourself to Him again. Of course you should. Of course you should. If you've been living in sin, you should repent. And you should run back to Jesus and accept His forgiveness and His blessing. But what I am saying is this. If you've not been in sin, He still wants you to come to the altar, and He still wants you offering yourself as a sacrifice. When you are pure and holy and everything is right in your life, He wants you to take that and give it to the Lord. In fact, what I said earlier was, this is a sacrifice that you and I should be making every day. And that's true. So that every day, before you have started the day and even begun to sin, you should be saying, Lord, this day belongs to you.
My body belongs to you. My time belongs to you. The food I'm about to eat belongs to you. The work I'm about to do belongs to you. The trip I'm about to take belongs to you. Everything that I just woke up to, blameless and spotless and filled with full hope, it's all yours. And then live that way. Live a holy, sanctified life, which you will mess up, and you will slip, and you will sin, and you will need to run back to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and blessing again. But I mean every day, start the day off holy and pure and new, saying, Lord, it's yours. I'm yours.
This is why you take quiet time in the morning. You take some time every day. You rededicate yourself to the Lord. You re-surrender yourself to the Lord. This is what we do. So, this is what God has called us to. He's called us. He has called us to offer ourselves to Him as a sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice? A surrendered, spiritual, serious, serving, sanctified sacrifice. Every day. I'm not saying that there are not times when you have to make a special decision. Over and over again in my life, I've had to rededicate myself to Him. When I realized that my daily rededication has turned into kind of a meh. When I've simply accepted the security that I have in Jesus Christ, and I've said, okay, Lord, it's great to be saved, and it's great to be sure I'm saved, I'll see you next week. No, I haven't ever consciously said that, but I've lived that, haven't you? Have you ever gone full days without thinking carefully about how you belong to the Lord? Because I have. Especially the times when I was clearly walking away from the Lord and living in sin openly. But even when I've been living pretty right, even when I've been living pretty far away from open, horrible, bad sin, it doesn't mean I've been living very close to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Now, thank God if you have grown spiritually and morally in your life to the place where you have put away those really bad habits that were so destructive. So obviously and grotesquely simple. Thank God those things are in your distant past and they're not a problem anymore. Now, if they are, still a problem. Let me talk about that. We pray about that. I wouldn't judge you for that because I've been there. You know? Christians find themselves there. But if you're in a place where I am, where pretty well my life has been fairly well put together for a while, I can still somehow slip into a casual, cool, half-committed devotion. I don't get that's where some of us are right now.
So this is what I want you to do. I want you to think about the word Holocaust. Whole burnt offering. Take a picture. Took the animal. Took all the junk and set it aside. Took all the best stuff. All of the good stuff. In fact, all of anything that's worth anything at all. All of it. Burn it up. Burn it to a cinder. Oh, gave it to the Lord. Good Christian friends, that's what he's calling each of us to do right now. Okay? No, we're not meaning that literally, obviously. It is meaning that he wants all of you. He wants all of me. He wants all of us. Will you surrender all of yourself to him? Thank you. I'm sorry, please.
Holy Father, we know good and well that we could never give enough of ourselves to you. We could never offer ourselves to you as an adequately serious and sanctified sacrifice. We can't somehow whip ourselves into shape here. We're well aware of the fact that there's nothing about us that you would even find acceptable, except that Jesus himself has given himself as the last bloody sacrifice for us. He's made us right with you at the cost of his own blood. But by the mercies of God, your man has appealed to us to offer ourselves as a sacrifice. If Jesus Christ has offered himself as a sacrifice for us, now you're appealing to us, you're all, to offer ourselves as a sacrifice to you, as a complete, total sacrifice. In the places in our hearts where we do not trust Jesus and his totally sufficient sacrifice on our behalf for our salvation, for our righteousness before you, where we're trusting our own activity or our own religion, Lord God, take that away. Help us to trust Jesus only. And yet, on the precise opposite side of that coin, if we really are trusting in his totally sufficient sacrifice for us, then would you so move in our hearts that we might be somehow privileged to offer ourselves back to you through our Lord Jesus Christ, wholly, entirely giving ourselves to you, living sacrifice, whole and acceptable, because that's our reasonable service. That's our spiritual act of worship. Help us to do it right now. Father, if there are people in this room who feel like they just can't
surrender that way. God, I pray that you would turn them loose, set them free right now. Help them to trust you entirely. Help them to surrender to you completely. Lord, do not ever, ever release them to surrender themselves to me or to some other preacher or some other person, but to you entirely and only to you. Was to give ourselves to you for our joy and for your glory. Oh, Father, help us see that the devil is lying to us, the world is lying to us, when it tells us that a half-committed life is a happier life. It's not. It's a life convicted or ridden with conviction and guilt, because we know we belong completely to you. We know you have every right to us, to all of us. Oh, Lord, set us free from the lie that we would be happier. We will be happier if we just mostly surrender ourselves to you, but not entirely. Teach us better, Lord. Show us the truth. You want all of us for our joy, for your glory. And Father, if there's anybody in this room who's not yet truly put his faith or hers in Jesus, not yet truly surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you help that person do it right now. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.